Hello everyone, my name's Anouk.
And my name is Lara.
And we're the co-hosts of the International Student Voices podcast, the ultimate guide for studying and living in the UK.
Today we're tackling one of the most recurring questions among international students: how to find a job after you finish uni. Whether it's about the visa, what platforms to use, where to look, or how to go about it, there are several options for international students to stay in the UK and look for work after they finish their studies.
And today, we're very pleased to welcome our guest, Jasmine, who's been through the process of finding a job as an international student in the UK. Would you like to introduce yourself, Jasmine?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Jasmine. I am I'm a former international student from Canada. I just finished my master's program at the University of the Arts London at the London College of Communications. I got my master's in public relations, and now I'm working at a small PR firm at London Bridge, which I'm really excited about.
That's really great. That's actually how we met. I'm doing the same master's program as you, and you came to talk about your experience, about finding a job in the UK.
Yeah, it is a bit of a different story, a bit of an odd story. It was a bit of a right place, right time kind of moment. So I was living in central London at the time, and we had a local pub that we would always go to. And I had just had a not great date and kind of just wanted to go and grab a drink and see some friends. So I went to that pub because I knew a few of the bartenders at the time. And I just sort of walked up to my friend and was just like, I need a gin and tonic, please. I'm just so tired. And I was just chatting with him for about like 20 odd minutes or so. And then this guy sort of walks up to the bar, stumbles up to the bar and orders about 7 drinks. And I just sort of look at him and I'm thinking, okay, this is clearly not just for him. And I think there's a table outside. So what he says is that he orders his 7 drinks. And I sort of turn to him and I say, do you want any help with that? And he says, actually, yes, that would be really nice. Thank you. And then I'm like, no problem. He says, so where are you from? Because obviously I don't sound like I'm from London. And I say, I'm from Canada. He says, oh, cool. What are you doing here? I'm doing my master's. What are you doing your master's in? Public relations. Oh, we work at a PR firm. You should come work for us. I obviously think he's kidding. So I help him bring his drinks out to the table. And he says, you should join us. Like, these are all people I work with. That's my director right there. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm not here with anyone. Why not? So I sit with them. We're talking. We're drinking. It's fun. It's jovial. It's very relaxed. And they say, actually, if you're looking for work, and I turn to them and I say, like, well, I'm an international student, so I can only work 20 hours a week. Are you hiring a part-time intern anytime soon? And they said, actually, we could, yeah. Like, do you have any experience? And I'm like, not in PR, but in other things. And they said, yeah, that seems fine. Like, here's our phone number. Here's our email. And I'm like, oh my God, really? And so I get their information. And the next day, I think about it. And I'm thinking, do I even apply? Like, this is clearly a joke. Like, they were drunk. Do they remember any of this? And so I waited till the end of the day. I sent in my CV, and in the email, I'm pretty sure I wrote, hi, so-and-so. This is Jasmine, the girl you guys met at the pub. Here's my CV. If you guys are actually hiring, no worries if not. And I just sort of sent that off. This was in March of last year. And by the end of the day, I got a response saying, like, yep, hey, this is great. Do you have time for a call on Monday at 8:30? And I say, yep, definitely. Monday 8:30 rolls around. I have a call. It's half an hour with the founder. He liked me enough. And he said, well, you know what? Like, let's send you a writing test. If you, like, pending the writing test going well, when can you start? And then I started 2 weeks later and I worked there until December.
Yeah, very unconventional way of getting interviewed.
It was unconventional. It was fun, but unconventional, yeah.
Yeah, so can you just talk about your experience of finding a job after studying in the UK as an international student? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, definitely. So I started looking for a full-time job at the tail end of my degree. So the degree that I did was a 15-month degree, so more than a year. And so we had 3 months to work on our dissertation. Within those 3 months, I turned on my LinkedIn and I made sure that it said that I was open for work. So I was getting a few emails every now and then from recruiters asking for more information. And while I was writing my dissertation, I just sent it to them just so they'd have it. I didn't really think anything would happen because I didn't spend any particular amount of time looking for anything at that time because I was focusing on my writing. So when I was reached out to by a recruiter for this particular job, he had a few different options. I just sent off my resume. He looked at it, he sent it to them, and I heard back while I was writing my dissertation, which was a little bit stressful, because when you're writing your dissertation, you kind of want to focus on your dissertation and not focus on getting ready for a job interview or learning about another job or anything like that. But then I went through the interview process. I really loved the company. And even though my second interview was 2 days before my dissertation was due and my dissertation was not ready, I still went in, I did it. And I was able to start working at the beginning of January this year, 2023.
I feel like a lot of students can relate to that, of like kind of juggling the end of their degree and starting to work as well and having to do applications whilst finishing a degree, because it's a lot of work to do both at once.
It really is. I honestly would recommend working with a recruiter because they do a lot of that work for you. They will, like, if you go through the route of looking for a recruiter to connect you to jobs in your industry, they already work with a lot of companies or know a bunch of companies, and they can connect you with it. So all you have to do is just prepare for the interview and make sure that this company is a good fit for you and you're a good fit for that company. Because the one thing that I also want to encourage international students to do is not rush into something, because like you said, there's a lot of pressure when you're coming out of your degree and you're thinking, I need to find a job right away. I need to be able to start working so soon so I can then get my visa and just like get going. But the danger of that is getting into a job that you don't actually like, or a job that doesn't actually suit your skill set or what you want to do.
You've just discussed juggling like work and applying for a job afterwards as well. Were there any other challenges that you faced that, you know, stood out to you whilst you were applying?
Oh, definitely. Like, balancing in itself really does, it affects everything else that you do. It can really affect just your mindset going into everything. But I will say the biggest stressor for me was my visa, because you don't know what to do. So as an international student, if you graduate with a master's degree, you get a 2-year graduate route visa. The great news about that is that when you apply for it, as long as you pass your degree, you're basically guaranteed to get it, unless there are extenuating circumstances, which again are very unlikely. So my stressor for that is that I worry that it takes 5 weeks to get. I have friends where it took them 5 weeks, 8 weeks to receive it. I have friends who got theirs in 2 weeks or one. And I actually had a lot of pressure to get mine because I took a trip to Venice the week before it expired. So I knew that I had like that 1 week to get it done. And then on top of that, I actually had to make an emergency trip back to Vancouver for a family emergency. So I also had to get that visa turned around even quicker if possible. So when I applied for it, I didn't think it would get approved, but it did. I actually got mine approved in less than 24 hours, which was unbelievable. But I was worried about everything you had to have prepared for that, all the documents you needed ready. Did you need your BRP? Do you get a BRP? Can you travel with or without a BRP? Because there's so many questions around that, and getting a visa already in itself is very stressful.
Definitely. I think that's, for international students, one of the most important thing is the visa. And that's all I can hear, like when they're talking about job application, especially our flatmate, she is going through the process of like visa sponsorship. And I didn't know, like, because there are so many different types of visas. So, for example, like, so you mentioned you were a master's student and you had a special visa. But like, is it the same for bachelor's, like international students that just gone out? If you have any idea, of course.
I'm pretty sure it is. There is somebody who works in my office who just did her undergrad, and I believe she's on a visa similar to mine. So that is definitely a thing for undergrad students. I also know if you're doing a PhD, you get 3 years after you're done your PhD. The only problem I have with it is that it doesn't count towards your indefinite leave to remain. So if you can get sponsored by a job sooner, then you don't have to go through that process of spending 2 more years here, not getting sponsored and not having a visa count towards your, or not having those years count towards your indefinite leave to remain if you intend to stay.
Yeah, because Essentially, is there a way you could explain it kind of simply, how like the indefinite leave to remain works, how long you have to be in the UK for, and what it means if, yeah, you have some idea?
Yeah, of course. So the indefinite leave to remain comes about when you're in the UK for, it depends on which country you're coming from, first of all, because that unfortunately is that like does play a factor into how long you have to be here. So for some countries it's 5 years, for some countries it's 10, for some it's 8. And so for me it's 10, sorry, for me it's 5, because I'm coming from Canada. For one of my good friends it's 10. And unfortunately the years that you spend at school and the years that you spend on the graduate route visa do not count towards that 5 years. So that would mean I have to be on a tier 2 visa, which is the visa where my office would sponsor me. Those are the years that count towards my indefinite leave to remain. So I have to be on it for 5 years instead of 3 after this 2 year mark. So that's the great thing about the 2 year visa, though, the graduate route visa, is because it gives people a chance to find a job, especially if you're coming out of undergrad or grad school and you're coming into an entry level role. It gives you 2 years to grow in that position and learn and become invaluable to that company. So the whole point of a tier 2 visa is to sponsor people who bring skills that you wouldn't necessarily find in every person that already lives and works in the UK, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And talking about any, do you have any advice or any tips in terms, for example, like networking for international students in order to secure a job more quickly? Would you say it would help or not?
Definitely. Networking always helps. Definitely pick, if you haven't already picked a program, pick a program that offers either a co-op or offers a connection with a bigger networking body. For instance, the program that I was in and you're in has a connection with the IABC, which is the International Association of Business Communicators. So just being connected with those organizations, getting to know those people, building a network in the UK is always going to help you at the end of the day. It can never be detrimental to know people, especially in communications, which is the sector that I'm in. Obviously, if you're in a much more specialized field like medicine or health sciences, like I have a friend who's also struggling to find a job in that area, but that's because, again, her niche is very niche. It's much harder to find a job there than it would be to find a job in communications, which is a much more broad spectrum. So definitely look into networking opportunities. There are a lot of young person focused networking groups. Like I believe there's like, I want to say it's like the London Young Professionals Network. Like that's definitely one to look into. There are a few membership focused ones. There are some free ones, but definitely just look around, join a bunch of Facebook groups and engage with as many people as possible. You definitely can't go wrong doing that.
I feel like also you mentioned so at the start that you and Laura both have access to like a networking kind of group through university. And I think that's something to show as well, that universities sometimes, you know, have access to like networks, or they'll organize like career fairs, which is a really great way to network. So I think as a student as well, it's really good to, you know, make the most of what the university offers itself outside of like the Facebook groups and stuff that you're mentioning as well, which are amazing. So yeah, I definitely think that taking advantage, I personally have like been to career fairs and all that kind of stuff through my uni, and I think it's really helped to, you know, kind of get out there, test the waters as well, because when you've never networked before, networking is such a big word that's like thrown around, and I feel like it's quite intimidating. So you need to like, you know, start slow, and I feel like even going to like a university career fair is a good way to start.
Yeah, you mentioned the IABC event, so like the first networking event I've been to, I was so stressed. I dressed up so like formal and everything, and then I understood everyone was so chill and just like, it's just, you need to build conversation, like meet people, have conversations, and just, yeah, have some interest about their different backgrounds. I feel that's just the most important thing about networking.
Definitely. No, it's all, honestly, networking can be super intimidating, especially if you're shy or you get nervous and don't know what to say to people. But honestly, all it is just getting to know them. How did you get to where you are? What do you like about your role? Like what aspects like of your personality suit that role? And just getting to know what, like how they got from A to B. But everyone loves to talk about themselves, myself included.
Yeah, because you have an amazing, we didn't mention that, but you have an amazing TikTok account.
I just talk a lot on it. I like to share bits and pieces of my day. It also actually helps you make friends, so Side note, really helpful to just slide into people's DMs.
And when you're looking for jobs, would you say what skills are employers generally looking for? Like, what are the most important skills that they're generally looking for international students? Because you mentioned that sometimes you develop some like invaluable skills when you get into the workplace. So do you have any skills in mind?
The first thing that comes to mind, unfortunately, is the language barrier. So being able to speak English obviously is a big thing here. I do know that a lot of programs at schools have to, or make students do English language tests, but that is actually very important, especially if you're doing a communications role, being able to write, communicate, understand a few idioms here and there. But honestly, I wouldn't even say that's like the number one. I would just say that's just something to be aware of. But that is very specific, I think, to the UK. Also, keep that in mind. Also, speaking multiple languages, definitely very beneficial. So there's something to be said about that. Each job is different. So you're never going to have two companies or two roles that are looking for the same thing. But ultimately, what I think companies are looking for when they're looking at grad students or students who are just graduating and looking for jobs are just, it's just a willingness to learn and an ability to demonstrate that you have done that before. Like, you've shown that you can learn and that you learn from your mistakes and you take criticism well and you're looking to grow. Those are just the main things that I've always noticed that employers like. That also what I would look for if I were an employer. Like, I also just try and put yourself in that person's shoes when you're going into these interviews. It's like, what would you look for someone who is going into the field that you're going into? Are you looking for someone who's keen? Are you looking for someone who's really sharp? Are you looking for someone who wants to work hard and like sort of pay their dues? Like, what are you looking for? But at the same time, keep in mind what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. And as part of like the application process, for someone who, for example, is doing their master's and they've done, you know, their bachelor somewhere else, or they've had all their previous work experience in another country, maybe their home country, do you think it's essential for people to have experience, to have experience full stop, and also to have experience in the UK? Or are do you feel like recruiters are okay with people having experience in other countries?
Okay, so I'll start with the first part of that question. I don't think it's necessary to have experience, and I don't think it's necessary to have experience in the UK. Definitely not. So many people are coming out of uni with no work experience. That's actually very normal. And it's great, obviously, to have experience, and that will only help you, but it's not a be-all, end-all if you don't. If you were part of any society, if you got involved in a volunteer campaign or anything at all, that counts as experience. If you did nothing for 4 years, which is very unlikely given that you have friends and you do things socially and you want to do well in your career and you want to do well academically, odds are you got involved in something or other. So highlight that. And if you notice that people aren't taking your application further, find something to get involved in, volunteer somewhere, just do something that's showing that you're taking initiative with what you want to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this kind of resembles what we were saying in the episode of changing your degree paths and how every experience matters, whether it's volunteering, being in a society, even if it seems minimal to you, they're like transferable skills that are useful for any job. And especially if it's linked to the career path and your hobbies and stuff.
And just, I know you already mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, but when is it ideal for international students to apply for jobs? Would you say it's like sometimes you have graduate schemes going on? Like, would you say it's at the very beginning of their like their bachelor's or master's, or at the end of their bachelor's or master's? When would be the ideal time?
That's actually a really good question. So it depends on the person. So, but ultimately, I really would recommend not looking for a job when you just start your program. And that's because you don't know what your program is going to look like. You have no idea how much work you're going to have. You have no idea like how much time you're going to spend at school, how much time you're going to spend at home. So definitely take your first semester on your own and don't work. If you really want to start working and you want a part-time job, start looking for something at the end of that term and go ahead and try and find work at that time, but part-time, and try and remember that your hours, even though you can work up to 20, you don't have to work up to 20. So don't feel like you have to maximize that time. Obviously, I understand there are financial restrictions in a lot of ways, so keep that in mind. And then if you have the means, don't work all 20. because then you really won't have a lot of time for your degree. And then if you are starting to look for full-time work after your degree or for the summer or between term times, definitely start looking earlier rather than later. And if you're writing your dissertation and you're looking for a job, keep in mind your dissertation is your priority. If you don't pass your dissertation, there will be no visa, there will be no job. So try and put that into perspective, if that helps. Not to make it dramatic.
Yeah, and I feel like, because you mentioned graduate jobs, there's like an unspoken pressure at the start of the year, because that's when a lot of graduate jobs open, like applications, to apply in the first semester. And I felt like I definitely felt that. And yeah.
Same, and
you felt that. And I feel like it's something that, you know, isn't sustainable, because as you said, Jasmine, like, we literally have not started our program yet. We're doing this program because we want to learn new things and we haven't learnt them yet. So how can we apply for jobs when we don't have the information or we haven't, you know, started the program? So it is, I think, tough, and it's, you know, mindful to remember, like, it's important to remember that, you know, don't get caught up in it, and, you know, there's going to be opportunities later as well.
And also, like, one of the questions, like, in job interviews is generally, like, oh, what have you learned throughout your degree? Or can you tell me more about the field? And if you just started learning about the field, it's very hard to answer the questions. So definitely, like, take some time. Like, it's fine.
Also, the main other thing is, now that I'm working, you will be spending the rest of your life working. Enjoy the time that you have being a student. If you can afford to, I recognize that this is an if you can afford to, enjoy the time to be a grad student.
Yeah, completely agree. And to finish it off, what advice would you give to an international student who is about to graduate and is starting to look for jobs in the UK?
It sounds like kind of bittersweet, but it really is, just enjoy it. It sounds basic, but just enjoy how exciting it is to be starting off, especially if you're in a city like London or a city that you love. Just enjoy how exciting that feeling is to know that you're going to be working and you're going to have a life here, and it's going to be brilliant. Probably it's going to be hard work and it's going to be exhausting. And honestly, I forgot how hard it is to work 5 days a week, but it's going to be really rewarding and fulfilling. And you're going to be really proud of yourself ultimately. But okay, that's just sentimental stuff. General advice that I'd actually give is to actually do what I said earlier and, like, think about the company as much as you're thinking about how much value you'd bring to the company. Think about how much value that company would bring to you and whether or not your values align, because it is really difficult to work for a company that you don't necessarily believe in. As someone who's done that before in the past, it is really difficult to go to work every day if you don't actually like what it is that you're doing. And as someone who really enjoys what they're doing now, it is a lot easier. I didn't used to be a morning person. We start work at 8:30 in the office, which means I have to leave at 7:30. And that's something I never thought I'd ever do, but I do it and I like it. And it's because I actually enjoy coming to work. So it does make a huge difference. And, like, not rushing into something also makes a huge difference, because that's sort of what I did at my previous role. And even though I did enjoy it, it wasn't the right fit for me, and that's okay. So again, also knowing if it's not the right fit right away, that's okay. You have time. 2 years is longer than you think it is. It's also shorter, but it's also longer. I'm contradicting myself a lot, but I think I'm getting my point across. It's shorter, but it's longer, and you don't need to feel all of the pressure and the weight of the world having it all figured out right away. And if you don't have a job as soon as you hand in your dissertation, that's okay too. I have friends who were unemployed for about a month, maybe two. They found something.
Thank you for sharing all of that. That was really good advice that I will take on as well, because I haven't started my job search yet and it is stressing me out. So thank you for those wise words of wisdom. It has helped me and definitely, like, calmed me for sure. And I hope whoever's listening as well.
Yes.
So that's it for us. We hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you so much for being on the podcast, Jasmine. If there's anything we forgot to cover, please don't hesitate to contact us on social media, on Instagram at ISV Podcast. And you can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and our website, isvpodcast.com. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.